Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. Dimension 6 hitting the road on the way to FYA. If you're in Roanoke, Virginia, Boone, North Carolina, Jacksonville, Florida, Tampa, Florida, or Raleigh, North Carolina, please make sure to support Dimension 6 on their winter tour. They put out an awesome demo, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do next. A Bob Wilson joint on February 3rd. Scarab Worn joint record release show with direct support from Division of Mind, Burning Lord, and Discontent. So please grab tickets while they're still available. If you're not following From Within Records on X or Instagram, please go click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band or for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. Before we get into today's guests, I just can't believe we're here. Final podcast of 2023. What an awesome year it's been. I just want to, you know, take the time to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for the continued support throughout the years. This year we started doing these in-person podcasts. Shout out to More to Pride, shout out to Spirit Dive, shout out Stateside, Whirlwind, No Way Out. Just a few of the bands that have, given me the honor to be able to pull up on them and do cool stuff like that. And that's something that I'm looking forward to doing more of in 2024. We've already got some things scheduled in the books for the early part of the year, and I'm hoping that's a continued trend throughout. I'm actually even trying to branch out, right? Because these ones have been in Orange County, LA, but in the next year we're gonna try to travel out just a little bit further to some of more of the surrounding areas. Here's a little hint: we got the next one should be with a band down in San Diego, which is awesome. I've always had a ton of respect for San Diego, so for me to be able to travel down there and speak with a newer band, I'm definitely looking forward to doing that in the next couple months. But it's something that I really enjoy doing. It's one way for me, or one way that I've found to kind of grow what I'm doing with the podcast. Because if you think back to when I first started doing this, right, I was audio only. I had a different equipment, so I sounded way different. And then like the progression was, okay, this is something that we could take serious. So we got better equipment, and then we moved from just being on just Apple Music, we went to Spotify, pushed the YouTube, and then we added the video component and started doing graphics. So there's just been this gradual progression, because if I'm being honest, from the very beginning, I had no idea where this whole thing was headed. So I think back to those early days and kind of thinking that, okay, the possibilities are endless. Let's just see where this goes. And it's been a cool time to be able to just slowly grow this thing and to be able to build all these connections and relationships. It's something that I think about all the time, right? This is not something that I thought would be a thing, because it's even weird too. When just yesterday I went out to dinner with my longtime friends Johnny and Garrett, and just talking about times before the podcast, right? Because this thing literally consumes so much of my life these days, which I'm very happy to do, because it's still so much fun to me. But to think about times before the podcast is like, holy shit, this is like a long time, since it has been like that, without the podcast going on. So to be able to be here so many odd years later, and to me, to feel like we're still growing, right? I haven't felt like things have been growing stale, and that's where I would start to worry, is if I got content with the content and I was okay just, you know, kind of punching in, punching out. It's like, no, like I'm always trying to find new ways to grow this thing, new ways to be able to provide like the coolest content that I can for all of you. So the fact that I'm able to do it so many years later, it's something that I think is awesome. And the support that I get from everybody, right? Like when I think back, you know, from all the guests throughout just this year alone, right? Just the returning guests, the new guests, it's truly just something that I think is awesome. And I'm truly humbled every day that people are willing to sit down, give me their time, because trust me, it's really, really hard to get people to want to commit to something like this. And I know what it's like to be able to, or to have to carve out time in a busy schedule. So the fact that people are willing to do it, you know, every week, multiple times a week, I'm just truly grateful for it. And, you know, shout out to people like Tyler Short, who, you know, we have this MCU thing going on that definitely is like some of my favorite podcasts. And, you know, Marvel's getting torn to shreds these days. And the landscape is really rough, especially with the latest Jonathan Majors update, which you guys haven't heard us speak about because we haven't done a podcast since the Captain Marvel episode, and so many things have changed since then. So I'm definitely looking forward to being able to do the next one, which will be sometime next year. You'll hear from Tyler and I very soon, but just things like that just get me pumped. And even being able to do the MMA show with Nate and Jeff, you know, two of my favorite people to talk MMA with, it's always fun just because we've had this like long-standing relationship, and I know that there's some people who are into the sport just as much as I am. So to be able to just chop it up with them and just to hear, you know, different views on MMA, because most of the time I consume MMA in like this weird bubble of like me, you know, and me following all like the news outlets, right? I obviously watch the MMA Hour. I follow everything Errol Helwani does, and then listening to Chael Sonnen do his stuff on YouTube. You know, sometimes I feel like I kind of get like, you know, biased with like my opinions and stuff. So it's always nice to be able to sit down with other people who may not agree with me, or who might even just like enlighten me and open my eyes to view things in a different way. So that's why I just love being able to sit and talk with them about MMA, and even all my other friends too. You know, the like private conversations that I have, you know, with people about MMA. It's truly like the best sport in the world. So if you're here listening to this in 2023, 2024 or beyond, and you're not into MMA, I urge you, please go look up MMA, or you know, or maybe that might be like too advanced for you. Go check out some jiu-jitsu, or like my new favorite thing is karate combat. They just had that event with Anthony Pettis versus Ben Henderson 3, which is awesome. And I really like karate combat just because the production level is so like high, and it's just a different way to watch a combat sport. So if you're looking for something new, or if you're just curious, I highly recommend karate combat. I can't stop coughing. I'm right at the tail end of this sickness. I don't sound as nasally as I did just a couple days ago. I was actually really hesitant to record this because I sounded so bad, but we're here at the tail end of this sickness. So suck it, Jeff, because you couldn't take me down. But yeah, it's been an awesome year, and I'm definitely looking forward to be able to continue this trend in 2024. And like I said, we're going to do more in-person stuff. We're trying to get out to more shows. Like number one thing that I'm looking forward to next year is the Skate Jam. put on by my good friend Caleb out there in the SWB. Shout out Bizarre Skate Shops. I'm dying to get back there. I need to go just breathe the air. It's crazy. This is like the first year that I didn't travel out there since I started going out there. So it feels like this, like, there's like this weird part of me missing, which sounds so crazy because I'm not even from the area. I'm just such a huge fan of what they have going on out there. And, you know, they got so many awesome bands, like shout out Warn, Choice to Make, Wild Red. Shout out Wild Red. That's one band that I have on like this list of bands I need to see in 2024. And I hope I'm able to get that done because I'm such a fan of Wild Red from when they started, even up until now. And just seeing them, you know, playing these like bigger shows, it's just such an awesome thing to see. And I hope I'm able to be a part of it next year. But yeah, hardcore is awesome. All of you are awesome for the support. I want to just, you know, let all of you know that, you know, as much as I do this, I'm truly humbled every week and I appreciate all of you. And yeah, it was an awesome year and I'm looking forward to next year and hopefully we can do it bigger and better like always. But on today's episode, we had to track down our good friend, Alex Casey. You know, he's been on the podcast before plenty of times. And he's someone that I truly respect, and I'm, you know, very appreciative of our relationship. For him to just be the same person throughout the years, right? To watch the label grow, and for him to not switch up, no ego. He's just a real ass dude. He loves hardcore. This angle, actually, you can see this hat way better. But this is my retired Navy Streets of Hate hat. Obviously, it's just the same hat that I'm wearing now, but it's you know, white on navy. But I've been a longtime supporter of Streets of Hate, and to be able to sit back and just watch the label do awesome things every year, it was an honor for me to be able to have Casey back on, especially for the last guest of the year, right? I always want to send the podcast off on a, you know, final good note. And just to, you know, see him work with some of my favorite bands, you know, to you know, put out the final release for Point of Contact, which is a band that I'm just, you know, obsessed with. Like, they were a band when Commitment came out. I was, you know, just like reminded of like how awesome it is to be straight edge. And just like that whole like time period, right? I had on Jose and Garrett from Point of Contact on the podcast. And I didn't even realize at the time, but right, like they were on podcast and like, you know, just a couple weeks later, I was on vacation in Orlando. I was in Disney World, right? Remember I mentioned those annual Disney World trips that I used to do, but it just so happens that I was in Orlando the week that the Point of Contact Commitment record release was happening down in Tampa. And I was just like, damn, I have to go to this. And my Disney friends weren't too stoked on me going because the show was happening like the last day that I was going to be in town. So I kind of just told them like, yo, like I love hanging out with you guys, but like you guys are all, and like the people that go, they're all hardcore people, right? Like, you know, who've gone to shows, who've played in bands, who've dropped out, or people who are still very active in the scene. So they understood, like, all right, this guy's like obviously like really wants to go, so like we're not going to be too hard on him. But the challenge was to get down to Tampa because I obviously flew to Orlando. I didn't have a car, so I was looking at all my options. But luckily, good friend of the show, Trent from Minneapolis, Jacksonville, wherever you know him from, he was driving down from Jacksonville to Tampa, and luckily I was like on the way, and he was nice enough to pick me up, and it was such an awesome thing because it was our first time meeting in person because we'd only been friends on the internet. He'd been on the podcast before, but picked me up, went to the show, and it just like slipped my mind. I didn't even tell Jose or Garrett that I was going. I remember walking in and they saw me and they're like, yo, what the fuck are you doing here? And I just told him, like, dude, like, this is insane. Like, the timing is just so wild that I just happened to be in Florida. And it was such an awesome night, because I remember there was a UFC going on that night. So in between bands, I was watching UFC and just being able to, you know, see, just a great set, and just being able to just like look at or be able to like attend a normal Tampa show, because obviously I've only been out there for FYA, but to have been able to go out for like a normal hardcore show to kind of get a real look at what their seat is actually like, it was awesome. So shout out to Point of Contact. The hoodie's like right here. Next time I wear it, I'll wear it even more proudly. But for Alex to have been able to put out Point of Contact, and then even a band like Field of Flames, shout out Field of Flames, one of my favorite bands from out here. I think they're one of the best bands from out here. So for the Series of Hits, I've been able to work with them this year. I thought that was amazing. And then even to be able to work with Two Witnesses, shout out Jim Barron, and the ever so popular New World band. I think they're just doing really awesome stuff, and I just really support what Streets of Fates is doing, and I'm looking forward to see what they do next year. At the time of the podcast, the Tsunami and Bulldoze weekend wasn't announced, so we couldn't really talk about that publicly, but to see Streets of Hate, in collaboration with Joseph from Tsunami, be booking shows out here. I think that's awesome to see Streets of Hate, just have more of a presence. I'm definitely looking forward to rolling out to that show in February, getting to see Alex in person again. Like I said, it's been a minute. We haven't seen each other since Hardcore Pride weekend in Philly. So yeah, I'm just a huge fan of Streets of Hate, and I'm just so happy that Alex was down. It was an awesome conversation. I was happy to be able to sit down and talk with Alex again. So for any of you who are listening to this and for some reason are not familiar with Streets of Hate, please go hit pause, go look up all the bands that they've worked with, go pick up some merch, just support them. I think they're awesome, and like I said, I cannot wait to see more of what they do next year. So please strap in, enjoy the last podcast of 2023, and without further ado, welcome Alex Casey to the show.
Recording. Welcome back to the podcast, Alex. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you? Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. I'm trying to think back to the last time I saw you. It's been a minute. I think the last time I saw you might have been Hardcore Pride weekend, maybe.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, because yeah. I was in LA or I was in California once or twice since then, but I don't think I saw you either time. Yeah, I think it must have been Hardcore Pride, probably.
Yeah, which seems like forever ago, because it's like so much shit has happened, which is crazy. Yeah. And here we are at the end of 2023, which is it's been an awesome year for hardcore. Like a lot of great releases, new bands, and people kind of like solidifying their position in hardcore. So I think it's been a really good year for hardcore.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I feel like I say this every year, but I feel like it gets progressively better, at least for my taste in hardcore, every year almost. So,
okay.
I think this year has been one of the best in recent years,
Yeah, I feel like, post COVID, right? And that even saying COVID sounds weird, but just like I feel like it took a while for things to kind of settle down and for things to kind of, get back to the way they were beforehand with, full on tours happening, these giant festivals happening. and finally, these bands that popped up during the pandemic are finally having, their time to shine and making their mark. So yeah, I think it's really been a good year for hardcore.
Yeah, definitely.
Now I'm curious about the label, because you guys have been pretty busy for the whole year. You guys had your first release back, was it February, if I remember correctly, with Godskin Peeler? Was that the first one?
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, I lose track of shit anymore. But yeah, Godskin Peeler was definitely one of the earlier ones, because we planned it so it came out kind of around LDB Fest last year, because their first show was going to be with Last Wishes and Adrian, which was a tour that was happening on the way back east from LDB. So yeah, I think it came out 2 weeks before then, or probably I think it was the end of February or something like that.
And can you talk about how you linked up with them? Obviously I know you're friends with them, but I'm just curious about what that process was like for you.
Yeah, so the singer of Godskin Peeler is this dude named Kevin. He's from the Hudson Valley, and he was he's one of the first guys that was older, of the generation above me. He's only 4 years older than me, but in hardcore years, especially when you're I was 14 when I met him, so he was just graduated high school. Felt like we were on two totally different planets. So he's been an important part of my life, basically since then. He's one of my closest friends. I actually grew up with his cousin, this dude named Sean, and that's how we met initially. I was in a band with his cousin, and then he was like, yo, we're going to go to a show in this town called Wappingers Falls at a house, which is the town I live in now, which is where Kevin, who sings in Godskin Peeler, is from. So we went and I met him, and then I've been we've been really close ever since then. And I've always rocked with his bands. I've always liked them, but he's never sang in a band. So once he was like, yo, I think I'm going to do this thing, I want to sing in a band, and it's got, other friends of ours, Jack from Age of Apocalypse is in it. Tony from Means of Survival is also in it. And then, a couple other guys. So before I even knew what the lineup was, I knew that Kevin and Jack were in it, and I was like, yeah, I'm down to do whatever you guys want to do. And then it actually, before even hearing the band, just because I love those guys so much. And then, I finally heard the thing, and it ended up being cool. So, yeah, we just did a tape, and then we, kind of shortly after that ended up doing another tape. But yeah, that's kind of how it all came together, more or less, just being friends with them.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's awesome that you had that faith in them to be down to put it out before even hearing anything.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't regret it. You know what I mean? I would have done it either way, but I do love them. And people like them too. Shit's cool, I think. People are hyped on it, and they've been doing a bunch of cool shit ever since, so it's been cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of the band. And are you familiar with where the name comes from? Because if I'm not mistaken, it's an Elden Ring reference.
It is. I I wouldn't have known that, but they told me it going into it.
Okay.
They kind of I was like, that name's a little what is good with the name, and then Kevin explained it to me. So I know what it comes from. Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, it is an Elden Ring thing. That's what it is.
Yeah, and I think that's really awesome, because I'm a huge fan of that game. So for them to be able to pull from it, and because obviously there's a ton of lore in that game, but for them to pick that particular name, I think it's really awesome. And then also, yeah, it sounds so out there when you're thinking in hardcore band name terms. So I think it's cool to be able to stand out with such a strange name for people who may not be familiar with that video game.
Yeah, we were all is the name too much? Is it kind of off-putting initially? But I don't think it is. I think it's cool, and people seem like they think it's a cool name as well. So yeah, and a lot of people make the connection of it being the Elden Ring thing, and I think that's it may draw people into checking out the band. You know what I mean? Whereas if it was just some regular name, it maybe that they had no sort of awareness of what that came from. They might not have checked it out,
100%. And even it being like abbreviated with the like GSP, because when I hear GSP, I think of the MMA legend, right? George St. Pierre. So
yeah, it's like, yeah, I've gotten that a bunch too.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's cool that, you know, the full name is awesome. And then even it being like abbreviated is even more awesome. So I think they, you know, next level thinking with that, or maybe they just got lucky.
No, it just got lucky. I mean, I started abbreviating it to GSP, like, when I was making the tapes initially, even though like Godskin is one word, it should just be GP maybe. I don't know. But I just started writing it down and then it sounded cool. So I just kept using it. And then, yeah, like you said, some people had pointed out that there was a guy with the same initials, an MMA fighter with the same initials. So yeah, just two random coincidences really.
Yeah, and I like the visuals behind the band, like in terms of like the artwork. So I'm not sure who's behind that, but whoever is, I think they're doing a really good job in just making things look interesting.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing for them, you know, just kind of being like not as straightforward of a, like they're not super straightforward. They're like just like a heavy hardcore metalcore band, but they have, you know, they're influenced by like specific things. So I think like using that influence in the art as well is important for them. But yeah, Mikey from Envision, like South Florida guy, he did the art for the first demo. And then this dude Will from the Hudson Valley did the art for the newer one. And I think they both crushed it, honestly.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely like it because it's like one of those things where it just looks very interesting, right? It stands out, you know, compared to a lot of stuff. Sometimes, you know, you'll be flicking through and you see like, you know, album covers that, you know, typically look like a hardcore one. So you're like, okay, it doesn't really stand out. And like, it feels like you've seen this stuff before, but when you kind of skim over those Godskin Peeler covers, definitely stands out. So it's a really good job.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I think so too. I do think they stand out like sonically and like aesthetically, you know,
100%. And I'm curious about your vision or goals that you had for the label for 2023, because it seems like you guys are able to accomplish a lot. Because it seems like now, even out here on the West Coast, it's not uncommon to see Streets of Hate merch, you know, floating around. So I think that that's like a really cool thing, because I feel like before, way back when I had you on the podcast for the first couple of times, it was kind of rare to see it. But now I feel like the name's just gotten so big, and you've worked with so many cool bands that it's out there way more. So can you talk about what the year's been like for you guys?
Yeah, it's been busy, man. I mean, like, you know, it's been what do you know when exactly the last time we talked was? Like, it was like this time last year, or was it this year?
It definitely wasn't this year, because I'm wanting to have you on for the whole year, and I wanted to save it for the last episode.
Yeah, no, man, thank you for that. Yeah, no, I mean, so going into this year, I think like we weren't really like, now more so than ever, we're kind of more established as like a label, and we're able to, and we have gotten a bunch of new releases out over the course of the year. But on top of that, like on top of working with a bunch of new bands, and maybe like kind of expanding our circle a little bit, and putting out records for people that aren't just like people we've known for a long time, or like, you know, stuff like that. Like, I think that helps, because, you know, I feel like it makes your label more accessible and not as like specific of a thing. Like, you know, I love doing putting out music for my friends, and that's something I'm always going to do. But if people, like, as a fan of a label, their perception is they only do specific things for specific people, my band may never have the opportunity to work with a label like that. I think it kind of puts you in a box a little bit, and like, it doesn't really allow your interests or the people's interests to expand much outside of that circle. So we've been trying, and I think it's been working, to, you know, meet new people, establish relationships with new bands, put out records for new bands, and support them. And I think that's been a part of what has helped us kind of be so consistently putting out releases and having people interested in working with us. But also, like, honestly, so another reason why I think the, like, you may see merch or out there or whatever from the labels, because like we travel to all most of these festivals and we're typically set up like vending our stuff. And I also work with Sam with Triple B selling his stuff. So wherever he is, most of the time I'm usually there selling, like, you know, a Streets of Hate item or two. So having the ability to travel around and kind of sell shit all over the US and even internationally, definitely helps obviously spread the name and get it out there. And honestly, it does all go back to like I said earlier, like having support from our friends. That's where it always started. And that's where, you know, I think people putting on for us and supporting us within our friend groups and outside of is why, you know, I think there may be visibly more of our things out there, you know?
Yeah. And I've always been curious too, because obviously, you mentioned Sam, and I'm sure people are familiar with like the showcase that has happened in New York with, you know, Triple B Days and Streets of Hate. And when I look at those three labels, side by side, I always believe that, you know, Streets of Hate, you guys could, you know, ramp up and, you know, put out more bands and get to like the next level. But I was always curious if that's something you guys were interested in, because I knew, you know, you guys started out doing tapes, and it didn't seem like you guys were actively going out and, you know, signing bands like Days and Triple B. So I was always curious if that's something, or if that's the direction you guys are heading in.
So I don't think we'll ever be going as hard as those two guys are going, particularly. I mean, just for like pure lack of time. And you know, like my wife and I do the label together. We both have full-time jobs and we dedicate as much of our time to hardcore and the label as we possibly can. And it's basically every ounce of our free time is spent on those two things to an extent, you know? So basically all the time that we can put into it, we already are. So I think it's only ever going to be, I mean, we're still going to actively put out as much as we can for as many bands as, you know, as we think are worth working with. Like we're not going to scale back less than we're like the output that we have kind of now, now that we're more established as, you know, trying to get things out over the course of the year rather than just like one or two things kind of sporadically. We're going to probably keep going at this pace, I would say. But I don't see it really growing too. Like, it's not going to be like this massive thing that is really just because I just don't know if we can manage to do it just for time's sake. You know what I mean? 100%. I mean, even as it is now, like it takes a lot of our time to get everything going. So it's like, I don't really know if I want it to get any bigger than it is now, just for like manageability's sake, you know?
For sure. No, I totally understand, but I do think it's cool that you have those relationships. Obviously, like, I know you're friends with Sam, Lumpy. So for you guys to be able to, you know, kind of put on for each other and do stuff like that, and even with like that joint vinyl you guys released a while back with Bulldoze.
Yeah,
can you talk about like, you know, like how that whole process works? Because, you know, I'm obviously you know, three record labels that are, you know, pretty prominent in the hardcore space. Like, how does that work? How do you guys like split up, like, you know, putting out one vinyl?
So for that one in particular, I mean, I've done things with, like, those are two of my closest friends, Sam and Lumpy. So, and they're close with Nicole as well. So it's very easy to work with them. You know, we talk all the time outside of label related things. So, and we've, prior to Bulldoze, we have all worked together to some degree, on the label side as well. So when Bulldoze came back and, they started playing, they played FYA, and then they did like a show in New York shortly after that, you know, within a couple of weeks of FYA happened. We were like, yo, it's crazy that no, like the Bulldoze discography, like they're playing shows pretty actively and like it's not out there anymore. And I think at that show in New York, there was a connection made between Sam and Bulldoze. Like they spoke, or maybe they were briefly introduced and like the real like conversation started later. But, you know, shortly after that show in New York happened, I want to say it was like the last week in January, 2023. he was like, he reached out to us and was like, yo, if we, would you want to work together and reissue the final beatdown, the Bulldoze discography together, you know, like we would each get, and this is how it ended up playing out. Like each label got their own variant of the vinyl. And then there was like another more common one for the band and the web store and everything. So it's pretty easy. You know, you just kind of split it up three ways and then that's about it. More or less, you know?
Yeah. And how is it for your experience doing vinyl? Cause what, outside of that, you've only done like only one other vinyl, right?
So before 2023, I think we did the Morning LP, we did the Wild Red 12 inch, Dead Last 7 inch, and the Painted Truth Age of Apocalypse split. So there was like four. And then, yeah, Bulldoze was probably the next one, I want to say, after that.
Okay. I totally forgot about all the other ones because I was thinking of the Out of Pocket vinyl.
Well, Out of Pocket actually came into the mix. So technically, Bulldoze, like the conversation about Bulldoze started happening in February.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like a long time in the process. Like we didn't actually have it for sale until like September. So it took a lot of time to like plan it out and figure out exactly what the band wanted to do, what exactly we wanted to do. And like, just to get everything, like it has a whole new layout. It has like, you know, all this new shit associated with it. So it took a lot of time to plan to get it done, and it came out great. And I think the vinyl is basically sold out at this point. Like, it's none of the labels have any copies left. Yeah, there might be some distros that have it or something, but Out of Pocket came like later. I mean, I don't know if you want to get into that now, if you want to talk about it later as well, but that was the only other LP that we did. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, was the Out of Pocket Waste of a Man 12 inch,
yeah, which. When I saw that, I thought it was awesome that you were working with the band from the West Coast. Just because I feel like there's so many like great bands out here that sometimes have like a lack of exposure like on the East Coast or just any other scene outside of the West Coast for whatever reason. But for you to be tapped in and to work with a band like that, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I think last time we spoke, I was like. I said like I was trying to make a point to try and get out to trying to make a connection to the West Coast and work with bands from there, because everything that the label had done at that point was mostly East Coast based, more or less. So with that in the back of my mind, I started just kind of paying attention to the bands, and Out of Pocket was a band that like, you know, came up, and it was hard to not be aware of them just because they, during the pandemic, they were like such a thing, and they started popping off pretty quickly once their demo and the EP came out. So once I heard that they were starting to write new, like they were like teasing out that they were like had new music coming, and I just hit them up. I was like, yo, what do you guys have planned for this? Like, what's going on with it? And I didn't know those guys at all. At that point, I just reached out kind of totally blind. It was just like, yo, if you have something and you want to work together. I know we don't really know each other like that, but like, I would love to do it. I'm a fan of the band and everything. And, I heard the record and I was really into it. I was like, you know, and we made it happen. That was basically it. And there was a couple other bands from California that we had worked with. Like, we did some stuff with Tsunami in the past. And then we did like a tape for Field of Flames as well this year.
Mm-hmm.
And just like getting kind of connected to the Bay Area guys and bands kind of opened my eyes to a lot of what's going on there, and their scene is obviously it's you know, one of the best going right now. So having that connection between us and them is being cool.
Yeah, 100%. I always have like respected like what all those guys have been doing for their scene up there, because I've said it for years, like, and even like they had like a hard time with me telling them that like, hey, like you may not see it now, but like what you guys are doing is like legendary, like literally like legendary stuff. And you know, yeah. It is like hard to see it in real time, and obviously to take this kind of compliments, it can be hard too and awkward. So I totally get it. But if you like, you know, fast forward to now, from when I was making those comments, it definitely still rings true, because they're seeing like a bunch of those bands from out there, killing it, doing crazy stuff that a lot of bands have never done before.
Yeah, I mean, it's like like you said, it was obvious like what they were doing kind of like after or during the pandemic was like a going to be like a moment in time type thing. You know, that was really important for the scene at large. But now it's grown to a, like such a size that like you can't avoid it. Like you can't ignore it. Like it's just, it is what it is. They're like, they just are, like I said earlier, like one of the biggest scenes and have some of the dopest bands going right now, personally, I think, you know. And I'm trying to do more shit with like that, more bands on the West Coast. So hopefully in 2024, you'll see some more work with Streets of Hate and West Coast bands.
That's awesome. Cause there's, like I said, a ton of great bands, and it would, I feel like it'd just be like mutually beneficial, right? For them to, you know, get that exposure, you know, out there on the East Coast, and then even for the label to have your logo and, you know, stuff being more like normalized out here. So I think that's really awesome. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that relationship build.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about, I don't remember if I brought this up when we spoke last, but I'm trying to figure out how to do like a show like this, the showcase that we did out here, how do we can do a version of it out there. So that's kind of, it's been loosely talked about with a couple of different people between Lumpy, Sam, myself and our friends in California. So maybe something will happen soon. I don't know. Not soon, but like, you know, within the next year. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that happens. I always love coming to California and the West Coast in general. So any excuse I can to get out there, I will.
100%. And I feel like things like that, you know, give, you know, bands that don't typically come out to the West Coast, like an opportunity to have their moment and to, you know, get more exposure. And I honestly, like, there's nothing really like that going on, right? Something that happens on both coasts, because I know, you know, normally it's just one big fest and it's on to the next. But for something to happen on, you know, the East Coast and the West Coast, that's not very common these days.
Yeah, I know. Like For the Children, just started doing, like over the last couple of years, doing like a East Coast show as well. Mm-hmm. Like they just did some up in Boston, and I think there was like something in New York a couple years ago that happened that was affiliated with that. But yeah, there's, outside of that, I don't think there's really any like big shows that are like, you know, showcase type things that are on both coasts or in multiple places at all, you know.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk about what those like showcase like experiences have been like for you?
Yeah, they've been cool. I mean, like I said, working with Sam and Lumpy is very easy for me and for us, just because like, you know, those are our guys and everything. And Scanlon helps us with that as well on the kind of logistics and the booking the venue side. And he has a hand in picking the lineup as well. Like we all work together. And again, he's another one. He's close with all of us as well. So it's pretty easy to book. I mean, it's crazy though. Like you have to figure out the lineup and get it together so like far in advance. And, you know, you got to kind of have to have it mapped out. Like, who knows, you know, say 6 months in advance or 5 months in advance. And it's hard to, just like with out of pocket alone, right? Like between the time that we started planning the fest and the thing actually, or the showcase and the thing actually happens, the out of pocket record came out and they started working with me with Streets of Hate. And they weren't part of the conversation initially when we started planning it. So it was like, I wanted them to play. I would have loved for them to play, and they'll be, I mean, if we do it again on the East Coast, they'll definitely be invited to, and anything that, you know, hopefully they come back out East soon. But, you know, it's just like that, like, you know, between the three bands, there were so many different projects that we were working on since having committed to doing the lineup that I just didn't end up getting added into the mix, unfortunately, because of timing and just like, you know, planning sake. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out, like, you know, we just book bands that we like, and that's about it. You know, bands that mostly have worked with all the labels is, or are friends with all of us, is part of the like criteria for being able to play. Obviously there's been some bands that didn't necessarily work with any of us that played, like Twitching Tongues didn't, it has never done anything with us, but they played this year. And there's probably some others, but they're the only ones that are really sticking out right now for me. But yeah, everything's been cool. I don't know if we'll do it again per se. Like it was cool the last 2 years, but I kind of like I just feel like there's enough like big shows like that happening, whereas like maybe it's not super necessary anymore, or maybe like, you know, maybe I'll be biting, like eating my words in like 6 months when we announce the next showcase. I don't know. I would like to branch out and do one on the West Coast for sure, just because it's like it feels fresh and mm-hmm. it feels new. And if we did it out east, like, you know, maybe we'll do something different to go along with it as well. I just like, I don't want it to feel like it's like played out, you know, and I don't think that it is by any means, but I would like, I think like doing the two and just kind of like having that be a thing and then, you know, moving on to the next thing is cool as well. You know, we'll see though. I mean, like I said, I might be full of shit. Maybe by the time people hear this, we'll already have the idea to do it again. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I totally get it, because you to put on like such a big thing, obviously that's a lot of work, but also you want to be able to present something that's you know, worth putting on for people to want to come out to, right? Because if you just put on the same fest as last year, it's like people start scratching their head like, yo, like what was the point of this? Like, we saw the same exact lineup last year. So yeah, I feel like it does get tricky to be able to do something, you know, annually, but, you know, be able to you know, make it exciting every year, because it's definitely a challenging thing.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, we did have a blast planning the last two, and it was a good time. You know.
Yeah.
100%. Bless Scanlon for dealing with us, because he's the one who really deals with all the bullshit. Like, we're so retarded. Sorry to use that word. We're so stupid. You know, me, Lumpy, and Sam, like throwing all of our ideas and all this shit at Tim, just so like it can like he can piece it together. I know he gets frustrated with us and like he complains about it, but he's a saint for actually helping us get it done, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of his, and I love Dead Last, so shout out Scanlon.
Shout out.
Can you talk about the scene closer to you? You know, I've heard like you've had like a hand in booking some shows. Is that something that you're you know, trying to do more of? Is like, you know, booking shows more in your area?
Yeah, I mean, I've always, like, I've been booking shows in the Hudson Valley since I was 14 years old, you know, on and off. It kind of just, like, it always comes in waves of when we have a venue that's steady or not. And that's a problem that we've always had. Recently, like, the big venue that is here closed down. It's called the Chance Complex, and there's a room in there called the Loft. That's, like, a smaller room that I've done some shows at recently. The having no room to book a show in, or like not having somewhere that you can regularly book a show in, it was always like a problem for me and for people here in general. So, but we do now have a place. Like like you mentioned, I booked a show recently for Balmora, Nomad, and Adrian on a weekend that they were doing, and it was at a new place that's in the city of Poughkeepsie called Reason and Ruckus. That's really cool. That I have a good relationship with, and so does the hardcore scene at large here. Like, there's other people that book shows here that book hardcore shows as well. So we're hopefully going to be able to use that place as much as we can. You know, I mean, there's no sign of it of them not wanting to have hardcore there anymore at this point in time. And I'm working on, I've got like two other dates there that I'm working on booking shit for in February and March. So hopefully that comes together soon and I can announce something, and, you know, we'll continue to have good shows here. But it's, it seems to be going well so far, I think. And there's so many bands from here right now. Like, there's no shortage of bands to play, like whether it be an opening or a later slot, or just to have like a local presence. That's something that's always been super important here. Like, as long as I've gone to shows, like, the local bands almost always do better than a band that travels from out of area. So it's good that there's a nice big pool of bands to pick from to book a show with, you know.
And do you like playing that role of like being responsible for a show? Because you know, if you're booking it, right, you're the one who actually has to make sure things are like running on time, everybody's, you know, showing up, and things are, you know, going, you know, hopefully as planned, as you know, as close as possible.
Yeah, I don't like it really. I mean, I don't think anybody that does it likes it, you know, because it's, you know, I mean, you book shows, you know how it is. It can just be, it's the most annoying thing ever, you know. But it's necessary, and I to have hardcore exist and to have new hardcore bands play my area, I'm willing to deal with the frustration of of booking a show. It's not like it's the hardest thing in the world. It's just annoying, just like anything else, you know, especially when you're dealing with your friends and they're all morons and, like, you know, they can't get to the show on time. And they don't have gear and, you know, everything. But yeah,
for sure. Yeah. It's something that I don't enjoy, but sometimes it's necessary, right? Because sometimes, like, you know, there's no other option. People don't want to step up. So it's like, damn, I guess I have to be the one to, you know, try to make something happen. But yeah, not my favorite thing, but for people who do it regularly, I totally respect them because it takes a lot of work.
Yeah. A good thing for me right now is there's plenty of people that are booking shows here that aren't like, that's like, I can work with, or I can like, or like, you know, we can work together to make things happen. Like there's these guys that do some, they have like a promotion company, whatever you want to call it, called Brown Table. They're based out of the Hudson Valley. And they just started booking shows within like the last year or so. And they do a bunch of shit here. You know, we've kind of worked together and we'll be working together in the future to make some shows happen. They have like kind of access to different spaces within the Hudson Valley area that I don't. So, plus they play in bands and like they have like kind of their own squad of people as well. So they will, you know, they do some stuff, and then there's you know, some other bands locally that book shows on their own as well. So it's a good time to be doing shows here and to be coming to play here for bands from out of the area. Like there's guaranteed to be like, you know, close to 100 kids at every show regardless of what it is, and then more kind of depending on scale of like, you know, who's playing. So yeah, it's cool. It all been good so far.
Hell yeah. No, I think it's really awesome to be able to have something awesome like that at home, right? For kids to be down to come out and support. Cause there's definitely been times where I see, you know, sometimes people get, too comfortable or like, you know, they've seen X band so many times that they'll just, you know, catch it next time or they just don't care, don't want to show up. But, so for you guys to have something like that, I think it's really awesome.
Yeah, the place in Poughkeepsie that I've been doing shows at is like literally a 10-minute drive from my house. So it's amazing. If I can continue to book shows there and like have it be like a thing pretty frequently and have it be so close to my house, it'd be awesome.
100%. Yeah. Cause sometimes when I think I'm like, okay, I have to get on the freeway and drive like an hour and a half in traffic. You know, an hour and a half drive is not bad, but when you're in it's like stop and go traffic and it's just, that just makes it like 10 times worse. But yeah, to be able to drive just down the street, like whenever there's a show at like Program or Train Reaction, that's like less than 20 minutes from where I live. So I'm always like pretty stoked about stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Train Reaction, I want to go there so bad. Like I've never been, but I see like all my friends' bands are playing there like as of late and it just looks so awesome. And obviously it's a classic spot. So I feel like it's one of those places that I need to go to, you know, just for like, I don't know, just because it's one of those places, you know?
No, 100%. Like when you're in the venue and you look at the walls, cause all right, they have like shirts from like, you know, bands that have played there in the past. And when you look at some of like these bands that are on the wall and you're like, holy shit, they're like, you know, these giant bands today, but they're like at some point in their career, they made a stop at the Train Reaction. I think it's a pretty cool piece of history, but yeah, it's a, like a legendary venue. I definitely enjoy it. But yeah, hopefully at some point you can make it out. Cause yeah, there's been a ton of awesome bands that have, you know, played that stage.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And I am curious because like you have, you know, worked with some of my favorite bands. You mentioned briefly Field of Flames earlier. Can you talk about, you know, what that was like? Because I remember I did a podcast with my buddy Chris Williams, and we were talking about how we hope Field of Flames doesn't slow down because obviously like members like playing other bands, whatever. And then literally like the day after recording, you guys like, you know, announced your release with them. I'm like, okay, cool. This is, you know, crazy how the universe works. Like I was just, you know, on a podcast talking about how I was worried that they might be slowing down, but for them to like put out something with you, I thought was really awesome. But can you talk about that whole you know, situation, how you ended up putting out that you know, body of work with them?
Yeah, I actually remember it pretty clearly. So New World Man played the pre-show for the Flat Spot Worlds show in Brooklyn this year, I think. I think it was like February or March or something like that. But New World Man played it, and then I went to the show. It was like New World Man, Outburst, and a couple other bands. But I went, and Jaffe, who sang in Hands of God, was there, and he's a good friend of mine. He was actually like the first friend from the Bay Area that I probably had, and Nicole as well. So we were just chilling with him and just bullshitting, kind of catching up, because we don't see him super often now that, you know, Hands of God's not really a band. They don't play out here or nothing. But so we're just bullshitting. And then he was like, what do you think of Field of Flames? And I was like, they're dope, you know, they're cool. I had met Justin before, and I knew Angel already. He was like, yeah, I think they got some new song, but they don't really know what to do with it. I mean, if you would be interested in hearing it, let me know, and I can like, you know, put you in touch with them. And I think before I even left the show, I hit up Angel, or like the next morning, I hit up Angel and was like, yo, I heard you guys got some new tracks. Like, can I hear them? And that was basically it. Like, I heard them and I was like, yeah, this is sick. What do you guys want to do with them? And then, or would you guys want to like put it out together? And then it was as simple as that, really, you know. It kind of just came together from there. It took a couple months to get it sorted out, I think. I don't really remember how long, but yeah, it came out by the summertime, and they were able to have copies before that Indecision 30-year show or 20-year show, whatever it was, which was like the next thing they had played after we announced the record. So yeah, that's basically how it came together. Just kind of mutual friends, and then just, you know, I've gotten closer with those guys since putting the record out. And like I said, over the last year, I've gotten, you know, pretty close with a lot of people from that scene. So like, just being able to work with them has been really cool for me, you know, personally.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of theirs. So I was stoked on new music, and yeah, I just hope they do more in 2024, because it seems like they kind of slowed down playing shows for whatever reason, but I just hope they, you know, go harder next year, because I'm like, the shot here isn't always the same, but you can kind of see it right now, but this blue poster right here is a Field of Flames poster. So
yeah, I see that.
Yeah, so always showing love to Field of Flames. I'm a huge fan of them, but that's awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, I mean, I know, like you said, like the guys they're so busy doing 100 other things, you know, between different bands and just like their personal lives and shit. So I can't say that they will or won't be any more busy than they were this year, but I'm they're not going to stop. They'll keep touring as much as they can, I'm sure, as far as I know.
And you worked with the band out of Tampa, Point of Contact, which I'm a huge fan of theirs, and I'm a little disappointed at how, you know, things shook out with them, because I feel like I feel like they could have been a lot bigger, but for, you know, they have their own reasons for the way their you know, band went, but yeah. I'm still a fan of theirs. I have like a hoodie like right here somewhere, but I thought it was done, right? I thought Commitment was going to be the last thing that they put out, but once again, I'm surprised they you know, linked up with you, which I thought was awesome, just because I'm like, all right, cool, maybe Point of Contact isn't over, right? Because I always, like, you know, bug the band members about the band, you know, before they finally, you know, decided to hang it up. So to see that, I was like, all right, cool, like, there's still life in this, like, maybe we can maybe finally get that full US tour, or maybe you know, get a chance to see them again. But sadly, I didn't get the opportunity to. But I was just curious about you, like, how did that whole thing come together? Because that's like not something that I was expecting.
Yeah, it was kind of, I wouldn't say it was random, but like, I became friends with Jose. I was never really like friends with those guys that much, like everybody, like everybody else was. I just didn't really know him. And I liked the record, like Commitment, when it came out and shit. But then like, we just never, like, we never really met, or like never really made a connection. And then one time I was in Atlanta, and for whatever reason, for a show, and then I met Jose, and we started chilling and just talking. And then like shortly after that, he was like, yo, like, maybe we're gonna do some new shit. We might want to repress Commitment. We might want to put out some new stuff. Would you want to maybe do it? And I was like, yeah, I'd be interested to hear the new stuff and like see what happens with it from there. You know, my plan initially was like, let's do the new tape, and then maybe we can repress Commitment and then put the new songs on there as well on vinyl, if, like, you know, you guys are gonna be active and do all this shit again. And then, like, we got the EP out, and then I saw them in New York. They played the Soul Blind record release show, like, earlier this year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was earlier this year. Yeah. So I saw them there, and we chilled. It was cool. Everyone was cool. I'd met them. That was, like, essentially the first time I met the whole band, and we got along well, and we just chilled out. And then, yeah, the record came out. People were into it. We sold the tapes and everything. And then, that was basically it. I didn't really hear formally that they were, like, broken up or nothing, but it kind of just happened shortly after that, you know, whatever ended up being the story. I don't really know the fine details on it, but it doesn't seem like they're active at the moment. So the Commitment repress will not be happening, sadly, for now.
Sadly, damn. Yeah. Well, at least, like, some of them are, you know, doing other bands, good bands.
Yeah. So.
I think that's awesome. At least they're still involved in hardcore, but I was just really bummed that Point of Contact didn't go a lot further, just because I just love their style, and obviously I'm a huge fan of straight edge and straight edge bands, so, and they're definitely one of my favorites, because I felt like they just had a great message, and just they sounded so awesome.
Yeah, no, they're dope for sure. I mean, like I said, I would have, you know, kept doing shit with them as long as they wanted to, so sucks that it didn't happen, but yeah, like you said, those guys are all playing in a bunch of different other bands right now, so.
Okay. And
still doing their thing.
And I'm a huge fan of you know, your release with Choice to Make, right? Shout out to you know, the SWB, right? I'm always repping Choice to Make every episode right here. Shout out Good Fortune Printing, or go this way, Good Fortune. I love that release, because there was a point where you know, the record had come out on Flat Spot, but then I feel like they took a big hit because of the pandemic, and they were kind of just, you know, trying to figure things out. But for them to be able to have, like, release that, like, promo with you, I thought that was, like, super sick, and I love those songs, and I'm a huge fan of that band. Even to this day, I think everything that they do is awesome.
Yeah, no, they're great. I mean, you know, I did the promo tape for them back in 2019, and, you know, I've been close with them ever since. Nate especially, you know, he's great. And the LP just came out on From Within. It's dope. So
yeah, they're out there still killing it. They just played some show. I can't remember what show they played. It's cool to see them being able to stay busy, but I think it's cool that Streets of Hate is a part of that history.
Yeah, always. I'll always put on for them, and, you know, they're my, you know, they might not be officially on the label, but they're always part of, you know, our circle, so I'll always support them and shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you mentioned that you guys have been doing, like, a lot of traveling. Is that something that you enjoy, being able to, you know, go to all these different parts of the, you know, country and even the world to, you know, to showcase your guys' stuff?
I do, yeah, and it's not even just for, like, the label's sake to be able to, like, you know, have things in different areas. It's more, like, even just, like, experiencing hardcore in new places is something I still love to do, you know, especially when I find a new scene that, like, is, like, you know, impressive, or, like, you know, that like, I like the vibes of, and, like, the show's good, and, like, people are good at dancing, and people have good vibes and stuff like that. Like, we went to Northern Unfest in Scotland and Glasgow this year, and it was like, we made a bit of a vacation out of it. We went and, like, hung out for a couple of days around the fest and shit, and it was, like, the best time we've ever had. You know, the show was amazing. You know, the food there was awesome. Just, like, being in Scotland was sick. It was, like, one of the best trips we had this year, and one of the best shows I've been to at all, you know, ever.
That's awesome to hear, because I actually just traveled internationally for the first time for hardcore. I was able to go to Bogota for their festival. You know, that's put on by Carlos Raw Brigade and his whole team. And I honestly, I was you know, heard a lot of good things from Jeff Eat First and Carl Gunhouse. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, if you guys said you had a good time last year, I'll go this year with you guys to check it out. And I didn't really have any expectations, but by the end of it, I was just blown away by how like dedicated they are to their own scene, right? Because just to see them like show out for their local bands, but then go off for even like the international bands, I was like, oh, like that's cool that they're like really in tune and, you know, down to support their friends and even to go off for the international bands. And everybody was so nice. Which I, you know, I, like I said, had no expectations, but for everybody to be so friendly and so welcoming, I was like, okay, this is like such a great thing that I'm happy that I was able to experience. Cause I was on the fence about, traveling, but, just because of, like I said, Jeff and Carl, they, you know, had spoken highly of it. I went, but I was just blown away. So shout out, you know, Carlos from Robbery. He was super nice. So I'm just thankful, for his hospitality and everybody else that like helped, you know, put on the show and help make sure things run smoothly. Cause like the show ran really well, that was something that, you know, since booking shows, that's something that I now pay attention to, like, you know, how are things running? Are people, you know, trying to stay organized, or they just like, don't really care, but no, they were on it like at that fest. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I was really bummed to not be able to go to that. Like just like the close proximity to the holidays and shit. Like I just wasn't able to get the time to like be able to make it down there. And it sucked because it looked like it was a great time. And I missed the one last year too. So hopefully if they continue to do it, I'll be able to go. But this year looked awesome, man. I was jealous that I saw that you were there. It looked like a sick time.
Yeah, no, I was just blown away at like how like awesome it was. Cause yeah, like just, the bands were, like the venue was awesome, right? The sound was sick. Like the people running the sound knew what they were doing. And then just like the size of the room. And just, like I said, just like the whole atmosphere was just couldn't have asked for a better time. Cause like, I was really curious about like, you know, what like my feelings were going to be when I walked away, but that's like something that I'm like, wow, like I definitely want to go back next year. Cause it was like such a good time. And like, so it was my first time traveling like internationally. And I was like, really just blown away at like how far our money goes in Bogota.
Cause I've heard that.
Cause like, you know, taking an Uber from like the airport to like my hotel, like booking the Uber, like actually, you know, picking me up at the airport and taking me to my hotel, which was like, you know, 20 minutes away. I was like, damn it. In America, this easily would have cost like at least like $100. But like when I looked at like the conversion, like, you know, on my phone, like after everything was paid for, I think I paid less than $10 for like the Uber ride, which was insane.
Wow. That's great. Yeah, I'm gonna try and make an effort to go next year because it just looks like such a good time, and the lineup's always awesome. So hopefully I'll make it out there. What was the what would you say the best sets, or what was your best favorite set?
My favorite set was there was this local band that opened up the second day. There's a band called Spit Out, right? Like I checked out their music on Spotify. All their stuff's on Spotify, which I think is cool. Jeff put me onto them, and they're just like a bunch of these like young kids. Like I was talking to the guitar player, but before their set, and I'm obviously there's like a little bit of like a language barrier, but he spoke good enough English for us to like at least be able to communicate. And he was telling me that like they had a band last year. They had like this vegan straight edge band that they're doing last year, but kids didn't really mess with it. But doing Spit Out, they've just kind of like, you know, kind of like cultivated like this crazy, like, you know, following like amongst like their friends. And for like the first band to open up the second day, there was like, you know, like at least like, I think like 20 or 30 people all singing along, moshing, going off. And you're like, oh, wow, this is crazy that, you know, the first band of the day is like getting this kind of reaction. Cause, you know, any show, any fest, most times people are just like kind of standing around, not going too crazy. But for them to have, you know, all their friends show up, and, you know, maybe not even all their friends, but, you know, people who like the band, for them to get that kind of reaction, I thought it was awesome and like a really good thing. But I think my favorite set of the whole weekend probably had to be Big Boy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just watched a little bit of the video from that. It looks sick. They're awesome. I love them so much. I'm going to see them at FYA in a couple weeks, and I can't wait to see them.
Yeah, no, they sounded awesome. I thought they were super sick. And then, I really like No Pressure. I'm obviously a huge fan of that band. And they were like, it was weird because, like, you know, I always listen to like a bunch of different types of music, but they were like my number one like artist on Spotify for this year. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. And just seeing them. And then I'd never talked to Pat before, but when I was leaving the fest, I saw him sitting down. So I just went over and talked to him, and he was like a super nice guy. Huge fan of Pat. And I was happy that I was able to introduce myself and have a good conversation with him.
Yeah, I mean, they're an amazing band also. They're like one of my favorites ever. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, no, it was cool. And even getting to see like my friends from like New Jersey, like, you know, all the guys in Cut Down and Never Again, like hanging out with them, like outside of the fest, like just doing like random stuff in Bogota. Cause I didn't, like I said, like my first time leaving the country, going to Bogota. So we're all just kind of just doing like touristy stuff and just trying to soak in the atmosphere and just trying to make the most of it. Cause we were all only there for like 2 or 3 days.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But the one thing that I wasn't prepared for was how like, food and like, you know, like drinks would like taste outside of America. Cause I feel like you know, my taste buds have just been so just, messed up, on how I think things are supposed to taste, but just like they're just trying to like adjust, cause like everything just tasted weird to me. And I was just like trying to find like the one thing that I was like, you know, that tasted like, you know, normal or whatever, but, everything just tasted a little off, like not bad, but just tasted. I was like, this isn't what I expected. Cause even like we went to McDonald's, there's a McDonald's near our hotel. And like, we went there one day and I was thinking, okay, like McDonald's is supposed to taste the same everywhere, but definitely didn't taste the same. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. Like I don't eat meat or anything, so I don't really eat McDonald's that often. But when we were in Scotland, I did have it because they have like a bunch of vegan options there. Okay. That they don't have here. So I tried it and it was like pretty impressively good, you know, which is not something I would expect to feel. But yeah, it was good for what it was. I don't know if you're saying it was good or bad or.
It wasn't. It definitely wasn't bad. I won't say that it was bad, but it just.
Yeah.
It just wasn't like the normal McDonald's that I was expecting. Like I would eat it again, like no problem, right? Like it wasn't like nasty or anything. It just, like okay, like Jeff ordered like chicken nuggets, but like there weren't any sauces available. Like we were even like looking on the menu. There's like you know no sauces because like out here, right? There's like 10 different sauces that you can choose from, but he only got he only got ketchup. So that was interesting. And the bread actually tastes like bread. Cause like when I go to McDonald's, I was like, wow, this bread doesn't feel real.
Tastes like some weird like styrofoam or some shit.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever seen those videos where people will like let a cheeseburger from McDonald's age, but it doesn't change, right? There's no like mold or anything. Yeah. So it's just like, what the hell are we eating? But like out there in Bogota, like it actually like the buns tasted like bread, which I thought was like, I was like, wow, this is refreshing, but also really weird. Cause like, what the hell are we eating in America?
Yeah. Who knows, man? Who knows?
Yeah. But I'm curious, you went to the Northern, Unfest or right?
Yeah, Unfest. Yeah,
yeah. Can you talk about what that experience was like? Because I know you've traveled internationally before, like, and we've talked about it. But I'm just curious, you know, because you speak so highly of it. Can you talk about like your time out there with that?
Yeah, I mean, Nicole and I just traveled out there. We flew out of a local airport. We had a layover flight in London, and then a short flight from there to Glasgow, and we were there. I don't remember how early we were there before the fest started, but I think there was like 3 days that we were in Glasgow that weren't consumed by being at the show. You know, like we had like kind of a bunch of time to just chill out and kind of do shit around the city otherwise. So yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was just like, we got a hotel that was just like in Center City. It wasn't like really near where the venue was or anything, but it was like fairly easy to get around. Like Ubers were like relatively cheap, and like there was a public transit that you could take kind of like wherever around the city and even outside of the city into like wherever, different cities, different towns outside of Glasgow specifically, which we did do. We like went on a tour of like this city called Edinburgh, which is like, there's like the really, really old, there's like really this, we did a tour of this castle and all this shit with like the guys in Gridiron and Mind Force and shit. It was cool. So we had that time to kind of just like go experience being in Scotland without having to be at a show, which was awesome. But the show itself, I mean, like all the bands from there are so good, you know, personally, I think so at least. And then like the bands from here that played, Mind Force, Gridiron, and Age of Apocalypse, they all did really, really well. And it was just sick. Like every band had a good reaction from start to finish, basically all the way through on both days. And then like the after show, or like the the post-fest show that happened. Gridiron and Age of Apocalypse jumped on and played a couple of songs at when they weren't really supposed to. Initially, like, they weren't planning on it. It just kind of was like a spur of the moment thing. And that was like some of the best, like, those were some of the best reactions that I had seen at other than like the headlining shit at the actual fest itself, the whole weekend. So the show itself was just sick. I mean, like, what the guys at Northern Arrest did to make it happen, and like what the local guys from Glasgow did that they share bands with, whether it be Nothing But Enemies, Demonstration of Power, Despise, Even Mourning, you know, anybody, Hellbound. They were putting a lot of work in to make sure that everything was going smoothly, and like everyone was happy, and like, you know, the space was nice and everything was cool. And that, you know, they were pretty free with like giving us suggestions on what was good to eat, what was like, what good coffee shops there were, like what we should be doing outside of just like being at the show. Yeah, honestly, I can't say enough about it. I can't wait to go back. We're planning on going back for the one that happens in 2024. So excited to see what happens with that. I know that I've heard some rumblings of what's going to, what the lineup's going to be and shit. So I'm curious to see how it pans out, you know?
Yeah. I hope with, you know, bands like Age of Apocalypse, Gridiron, and Mindforce, you know, traveling out there and having a good time, I hope other bands from the States are able to see like, oh shit, like we can go to places like that and play a good hardcore show, right? Because I feel like to be able to go to markets like that, that might not be the most hype or might not be the most, you know, known. I think it's cool for bands to be able to just get out there and have exposure and even get in front of people that, you know, might not be able to travel to the States or to other countries to be able to see them. So I hope with the next one, they get more bands from the States.
Yeah, I mean, like after the one last year being, or the one this year rather, being as good as it was, I think a lot of bands, like, it's on more people's radars. And plus, like I said, that scene is pumping out so many good bands, and all those bands are going to have new music coming out within like the next year as well. So I think all of that positive attention to the scene and the bands and everything is going to help that scene grow. Like already since that show, the fest happened last year, like I know so many people locally in the States that are like, yeah, we want to go, we want to play that show so badly. And we just want to go and be in Glasgow in the worst way, you know? And like I said, I always speak so highly of it. I definitely suggest anybody go that can.
Yeah. And how do you like the travel part of, you know, getting out to the fest? Cause I feel like that's like my least part, or my least favorite part about, you know, going on vacation or traveling to a fest is like having to go to the airport and dealing with like that whole situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's annoying and like, it sucks, but I mean, it's not that bad for me. I travel so frequently. I even like, other than shows, like I travel pretty frequently for work, and I'm just like, I try and get out there and see as much as I can. So I don't really mind it too much. I find it's pretty easy. I mean, like there's always parts of it that suck, like getting to the airport, parking, figuring out how you're going to get from the airport to wherever you're staying. Once you get to your destination, that sucks. Like potentially losing your bags, that sucks. That's never happened to me, knock on wood. I hopefully never does, but you know, I don't mind it too bad. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I hate it. Like Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, like, on my way back from Bogota, the only flight that would like work with my schedule was I had to have a 12-hour layover in Panama. So I went from LA to Panama, Panama to Bogota, then on the way back, Bogota to Panama, Panama to LA. But like the only flights that would work with my schedule, because I had to get back in time to make it back for work, was I had to deal with this 12-hour layover, and it was just annoying, because I was just doing a lot of like sitting, and I was like on my phone and like, you know, playing stuff on like my Steam Deck and stuff, which was like fine, but I was like, oh, I just didn't like that I had to be in this like random airport for so long.
Yeah, I try not to, anytime I travel, I try not to have a layover at all. Like I love a direct flight from point A to point B. And if it is, I do have to do a layover, I try and make it as like compressed of a window as possible, which can also be stressful, but at least, you know, you're not like sitting around for however long, just sitting at the airport or doing whatever, you know. Having idle time is like, that's part of traveling that I do hate is like waiting. Like if you get to the airport too early, you're waiting around for your flight. Like that's annoying. Or if like you said, you have a long layover, like that's annoying. I just want to get on the flight or get wherever I'm going and not worry about like just like waiting around, you know? Cause I mean, that time is, you know, takes out of your trip ultimately, you know? So to me, the sooner you can get there, the better personally.
100%. Yeah. Honestly, the only direct flight that was available for like my schedule was like with like Spirit, and I was like, I don't know if I want to fly from LA to Bogota on Spirit. Seems a little sketchy. So let me go with this other airline that might be a little more reliable.
Yeah, Spirit is rough, man. But I was gonna say before this upcoming year, I want to go to Japan like in the worst way, and I've never been on a flight that long. Obviously, It's like I don't even know how long exactly it is, but. It's like 18 hours or some shit. It can be up to 24 hours, maybe. I don't know. It was layovers or some shit. I really don't know. But anyways, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to being there, but like traveling from here to there is going to be interesting.
Okay. Is this just vacation or is this going to be like hardcore related as well?
I feel like, so I don't have any plan to go there right now. I'm still trying to figure out exactly when I would. More than likely it'll be like, I feel like going there and not going to a show, it would be stupid of me. Like I have to experience hardcore there. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to go at all, you know, it's like an important part of going there to me, just cause I love like the bands from there. And like, just like the vibes seem so awesome. And everybody said like shows there are so sick and like everything. I just feel like I need to see it. So I'm trying to strategically plan it around when bands that I'm friends with from here are going there, so I can see them there as well as like the local bands from there. Kind of get the best of both worlds. But yeah, ideally it would be kind of a mix of both things. That's what I try and do with everything, is like have a little bit of time to do things that are not centered around hardcore specifically, but also be able to experience it as well, you know, because I want to try and get a like try and witness what the hardcore scene like is like there, and then also try and like experience the city and surrounding areas themselves, you know, as much as I can.
Yeah, Japan's definitely like my dream vacation. Like in high school, I was like obsessed with like Japanese culture. I was like taking Japanese class to like learn the language, and it was like my last year, because I took it 3 years out of the 4 years I was in high school. Because like the first year I took Spanish, so Spanish was like my first year, and then the last three was Japanese. And the last year they were doing like an exchange like student program like over the summer, and you know, I was like a young kid back then, so I didn't have any money. So talked to my parents, they were like super down, a little skeptical, got a passport. But then like my mom had a dream that I died on the like airplane to Japan, so she like didn't want to pay for it because she thought I was gonna die. So that was my first opportunity to go to Japan that didn't pan out. And then like the last time was October 2020. Me and my buddy Johnny had a trip booked for October of 2020. But then the pandemic hit. We had to cancel our trip because like our flights got canceled. And so we got like credit, whatever, for our flights. And then life just happens. You know, he got busy. Well, him and I are still like good friends, but you know, he just got busy with life. I got busy with stuff, and we just have never been able to kind of coordinate another trip. So it's just like, damn, like I definitely have to get out there at some point before I die, because that's just something that I think about all the time. Because I like, even though like I stopped practicing Japanese, I still love Japan, and I definitely want to go there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I have to go. I've had a couple of missed opportunities that I could have like kind of finagled my way into the trip to go with other friends in the past, and it just didn't really pan out. So I got to make it happen eventually. Hopefully this upcoming year will be that. So we'll see.
And have you ever like sent your records out to any like the distros out there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. I sent all my stuff to like that record store Nerds. They stock everything, they always have like for a long time, and it seems to sell there. I've even, you know, I've sent them like some merch of ours as well, and it seems to sell anytime we send them stuff, which is cool.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. And is it okay to talk about your brother-in-law?
Yeah.
Okay, because this was so this was so random, right? I went to this show at Program, right? And this band Wide Man, or they're playing, and shout out Wide Man. If you're not familiar, please go listen to them. I think they're an awesome band. But I was talking to the singer because I have a relationship with the singer. Him and I have been friends for a while. And this guy, you know, like we're just like in a circle talking, whatever. There's like a bunch of people that I don't know. And this guy walks up and he's wearing a Streets of Hate hat. And I was like, oh, sick. Like your hat. And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, Alex Casey. He's my brother-in-law. And I was like, no shit. I was like, he's been on my podcast. So we're like freaking out. And I was like, hey, can I send him a picture of you? And he's like, yeah, for sure. So I took a picture and I sent it to you. No context. I didn't say anything. And I just thought it was just like this weird thing. Cause you know, like obviously like I know you were friends, but I don't know like your whole family tree. So to find out that you have this brother-in-law that's like also like, you know, involved in hardcore playing in bands, I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, he actually, so yeah, it's my wife's brother, Mark. He plays bass in Wide Man now. He's actually, I knew him before I met Nicole. Like he's a year younger than me. We kind of met just like going to shows locally in our general area prior to like while Nicole was away in college. So I've known him, you know, since he was like 13, I was 14, or, you know, I was 13, he was 12, who knows what it was, but it's been a long time. And yeah, so he moved out to Denver a couple years ago. And then funny enough, like we went to visit him out in Denver a couple years ago, I want to say maybe 2021 or something like that. And similar to like I was saying before, like whenever we're in a new place and we can experience hardcore to whatever that mean, you know, whatever extent that we can, we will. So it just so happened that while we were there, there was a show that Scowl was playing, that Wide Man was opening. So we went, and I had heard from friends out here that Wide Man was a dope band that we should check out. We should get there early to check out. And Mark at the time hadn't seen them yet. He'd only been in Denver for a very brief period of time at that point. So he was like, yeah, let's go. Let's check it out and, like, you know, see the show. And we went and saw the band. They were sick. And shortly after that, he was like, yeah, I'm playing bass in them now, in Wide Man now. So, you know, however that happened, I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, he's in the band. And yeah, they I think they were on tour with Ankle Biter, right, when you saw him?
Yes. It was that show.
Yeah, they're cool. They're really dope. I know they're working on some new music too. That should hopefully come out next year at some point. So people should definitely check them out if they haven't. They're real sick.
Yeah, and shout out to you know, the Denver, Colorado scene. Mind Force was just there playing some shows, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, Wide Man played one of the shows. So I haven't heard too much about that weekend just happened. Like Mind Force just got back yesterday. So I haven't heard too much about it, but it looked like from the videos and pictures I saw, they look sick. So I was bummed to miss it because, you know, I obviously with Mark living there, and a couple of other family members on my wife's side live out in Denver as well. Her cousins and stuff like that. So we have a little sort of a random connection to the scene there. And I'm friends with the guys at Wide Man now. So for them to be playing with Mind Force, who's like, you know, my good friends from here, it was sick. And I wanted to go, but unfortunately, like I said, with proximity to the holidays and everything, I just wasn't able to make the time to do it, sadly. So next time.
100%. Yeah, it does get rough to travel around this time because, yeah, getting, like, for me, it's like end of the year. Maybe my, you know, I don't have any more free days, or just travel in general is just always like way more expensive, like around this time, which I hate. So I definitely get it. And I wish I could have been there too, because for that charity show for the band that headlined, or I think they headlined, the band Fight Like Hell that was getting back together. Like a lot of those guys were like really important to me growing up, just because whenever they would tour through California or play Vegas, like I'd be there, and they definitely put me on to a lot of things. They're the reason why I listen to Floor Punch. I always tell the story. I would see them so often, and then they added this song that sounded so different. And like, I talked to the singer, I asked him, like, hey, like, you know, there's that one song that you guys added to the set list that sounds way different than everything else. Like, what's up with that song? And they're like, oh, it's a cover song by a band called Floor Punch. And they used to cover Let It Ride. And I was like, okay. I was like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, now I have to go look up Floor Punch because this song is just fucking so sick. So,
yeah. I heard, I mean, like I said, I haven't heard that much about that show, but, I did hear from Walker, who sings in Wide Men. He said that their set was insane. A Fight Like Hell set was insane.
Yeah.
And I believe it. So.
No, for sure. I can believe it. I was at their last Denver show because I'd seen them so much and made friends with them that they're like, yo, like me and like two of my friends, Andrew and Bobby, at the time, they're like, yo, like, you guys have to be at our last show. Like, just get to Denver and we'll take care of the rest. And like, we were like, I think like 17 or 18 at the time, and we made it out there, and they definitely held up their end of the bargain. They definitely took care of us, and yeah, that band's so sick.
Yeah, the scene there is sick right now, honestly, Denver as a whole. I want to go to some more shows out there whenever I can. But yeah, it's cool. I do love going there. I think I'm going to try and go there at some point this year, even if it's just briefly, you know.
For sure, yeah, because go see some family, maybe catch a hardcore show. And yeah,
like, yeah, that's
for the brief time that I was there, yeah, definitely really nice. I was not ready for the elevation. For anyone who's never been to to Colorado, to Denver, like, yeah, the elevation was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it didn't really affect me like that. I mean, I was prepared for it too, but I don't know, it just didn't really seem too different to me personally when I was there.
Okay, well, we're, you know, coming towards the end of 2023. This is the, you know, final podcast of the year, which I'm excited about. But I'm curious, you know, do you have any goals or big plans for 2024 in terms of the label?
Not really, just to keep putting out records, you know, keep working with new bands. We've got a bunch of stuff kind of in the pipeline that should be happening within the first couple of months of the new year that I'm excited about. Like I said, we're going to be hopefully traveling to Scotland again in April, and then hopefully I'll be in Japan at some point. But, and then everywhere in between, you know, like I said, we try and experience hardcore and new things everywhere that we can while we can. So that's really my only goal. I would say for 2024 right now, look out for new music from Burning Lord. We're doing their LP that's coming out soon. Discontent, we're doing some new shit for, who's a dope band from like the Northeast, members of Reaching Out and Killing Me, and this kid Alex that I'm boys with. They're really sick. They put out a demo this year, and it's awesome. And the new shit sounds awesome too, so that'll be coming out pretty soon. New Moment of Truth records coming out at some point. I don't know when, but it'll be out within the next couple of months, hopefully. And then new shit from Nothing But Enemies and Demonstration of Power, and who knows who else. There's a bunch of other shit in the works, but those are things that, like, I know are definitely going to happen. So keeping an eye out for all that stuff, I would say.
Okay. And last thing before we sign off, I just want to ask you about New World Band, because I feel like they're a band that is, made it to the West Coast, that has like had a really good impact, because they even like came back and were on like the Dead Heat record release shows, which I thought was awesome.
Yep.
You know, can we expect, stuff from them, you know, anytime soon, or can you talk about what's going on with them?
Yeah. So they put out an EP, over the summer called Beast Is Back that we did the vinyl for. And, the vinyl has been significantly delayed, but it is actually has shipped and is on the way to the US now from the pressing plant. So I should have it hopefully within the next couple of weeks. So that'll start shipping soon. There's a second pressing of that record that's going to be happening early next year as well. And then there is some talks of some newer shit coming from them as well, but no real hard plans. With those guys being in Pain of Truth, Life's Question, Mind Force, No Pressure, Regulate, like, they're all these other bands, like, they're all very busy. So New World Man is kind of never was going to be a super priority for them to do it. And they've done a fair amount of stuff. I mean, to be honest, like, they've gotten to the West Coast twice, like you said. Like, they played Tied Down, I think, or they played the Coldest Life show, rather, in Detroit. They've done some shows locally in New York and in Philly and shit. So they play a decent amount. And I think they'll continue to do so whenever they have free time. But yeah, I know that, you know, we've talked kind of briefly about their plans, and they do want to do a new record in 2024, maybe an LP. But I don't know, like, at, you know, at what point that'll actually happen. We'll see.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to, you know, anything new from them, because I think they're an awesome band. And yeah, it is crazy, because I, you know, when you break down, like, you know, all the bands that the members are in, it's like, holy shit, that's like this crazy super band that I didn't even really put them in that category.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. The bands that they're in are, like, you know, some of the best going, and I consider them New World Man. They're one of my favorites, currently going on as well. They're definitely, I would say they're probably my favorite record that I put out this year is that EP that they did. So, yeah, cause I love those guys so much, you know, Ridge and Heath and Mike and everybody. So they're all some of my best friends. So I love working with them, and I look forward to doing that, again, to whatever extent it may be.
Okay. Well, I thank you for being down to, you know, come on the podcast to be the final guest of the year. I think this is a great way to cap things off, because I'm such a fan of what you guys are doing over there, Streets of Hate. And I, you know, hope that you guys continue to have great success, you know, in the new year. But before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
No, just thank you for having me, you know, always supporting what we do. I appreciate you inviting me back on the podcast, and always, you know, supporting us. Like I said, I listed off a kind of a handful of things that are going to be happening in 2024 already. There's no real, like, concrete plans for any of that stuff. It's all just going to be coming out relatively soon. So look for more information on all that stuff coming soon. And then, yeah, that's about it.
All right. Well, thank you again, Alex, for coming on the podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next year.